I knew how to quit you.
Are you ready? Hey, what's going on? It's the FTN Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm Jeff. Got a quick one for you today. The listenership falls off a little bit at this time of the year, so we're just going to hit the nitty-gritty, the most important stuff for you in this very important week in fantasy football. You might be on the bubble. You might be in a win-and-get-in situation, so we'll try and help you out here like we always do. Really quickly, though, before I get into that, FTNFantasy.com, go check it out. I mean, at least do me that. You know, you listen to the podcast, at least go check the website out. If you're interested and you want to get behind the paywall, use the promo code RATPACK for 10% off. We have so many good things going on at FTN right now. Really loving the product we put together. And it's just getting better, bigger and better to come over at FTNFantasy.com. All right, I want to dive into it today because, again, you might be in a win and get in situation. I'm in a couple win and get in situations. I have one that, honestly, I've been on a remarkable run, and I am 6-7, so that tells you where I was in this league. At one point, I think I was 1-6 in this league, so 6-7, and I have a shot. Now, I have to win to get in, but I can get in. With a victory, I can get in. I'm in another league, you know, somewhat of a similar situation in terms of record. Actually, that league, I'm 7-6, but I win, I get in, I lose, I go home. So you might be in those types of situations. If you are, the number one piece of advice I can offer anybody is don't chase upside. I mean, that's been a bit of a theme for me this season. I've noticed a lot of people love this notion of upside. And a lot of times I brought the idea up when it comes to somebody like Anthony Richardson, right? Anthony Richardson has upside. He's not playing this week, obviously, but he's a good example. A player who has upside, but when fantasy managers start him and he doesn't hit his ceiling and instead he hits his floor, they get upset about that. Well, if you chase upside, you are also potentially going to hit downside. If you can't handle the downside, don't chase upside, right? That's the advice. Well, it applies also in general with your start sit decisions. And one of the single biggest mistakes I see people make when it comes to, well, any game, especially a must win game, is they're going to base their decisions not on who has the potential to score the most points for them, but rather on what their projected box score says. And, you know, hey, projected box scores are fun. I respect some of the projections out there immensely, like ESPN's, because my former colleague Mike Clay does those projections. But by the same token, I will be bluntly honest with you, they're eye candy. Projected box scores are eye candy. But yet, they lead people to make big-time decisions, big-time conclusions based on that eye candy. They will look at the eye candy. They will say, well, I'm an underdog. Therefore, I need upside. And the reality is, you don't need upside. What you need is to score more points than your opponent. And how we arrive at start sit decisions for, you know, for those ends is really the same no matter what the situation, no matter what the scenario is. The idea in season-long fantasy football is to start the players who give you the best chance of scoring the most points. They won't always score the most points, but they give you the best chance. Right? We're really playing, when I say chance, I mean, that's a great way of thinking about it. We're playing a game of probability. We're playing a game of percentages, and we want to be on the right side of percentages. We want to be on the right side of probability. We want to give ourselves the best chance of scoring the most points possible. And how I do that is pretty simple. I use my rankings. Now, you don't have to use my rankings. I know there are listeners to this podcast who don't subscribe at FTNFantasy.com. Use whatever rankings you trust the most. Now, there are free sources out there. You know, there are a couple, you know, really easy to find on search engines, sources out there. If you trust any of them, use them. Now, I would not use 15 different sources because you're only just going to confuse yourself. I like to stick to one set of rankings. Now, I use my own, but if I didn't have my own, I would pick one set of rankings who I trust the most, and I would use those rankings. And then from there, it is the simplest thing possible. Just start the highest ranked guys. Now, I know for a lot of people, you know, that's, you've heard this before. You know, I know that a lot of people have heard that same song and dance from me before. But I repeat it this week in particular because this could be a very important week. And in fact, the next 4 weeks total are very important weeks for that end. I can't tell you how often I've seen people say, well, I needed upside, so I started so-and-so, and he crapped the bed. Well, I mean, we kind of set ourselves up for failure then, and that's not what I want to do here. You know, I'd rather go out swinging with my best possible lineup as opposed to trying to hit a home run with upside. Because I think about it this way, like, let's say you don't win this week. You don't get into the playoffs. I mean, that happens. It's just part of fantasy football. But if you don't win this week and you started some crazy upside option, right, as opposed to just starting the top-ranked guys, does that sit worse with you than sitting the top-ranked guys in the offseason? You know, if I'm going to go out, I want to go out swinging and start the best guys. Because if I tried to get cute here, that would linger. You know, if I get cute, I start a guy who we normally would not start because he has, quote, upside. And that guy puts up like 2 points, you know. And the boring option who I probably should have started, I left on my bench. And even if it's not a blow-up game, but let's say they score 15 points. They score 13 more points than the other player. That's going to sit with me all offseason. If I go the other way around, if I start the guy who I should start, maybe a boring option, not upside, but I start him, and the upside guy on my bench goes off, even though he's ranked 20 spots lower or whatever, I can live with that. I can't live with the other way around. So I think that's really one of the most important things that you can do for yourself right now is not worry about upside, worry about probabilities, worry about starting the guys who are most likely to score you the most points this week. Will Isaac Garendo be one of those guys? Well, he was one of the most widely added players in waiver runs last night. A lot of people spending a ton of dough on him. And I am happy to report, if that applies to you, you went out, you spent on Isaac Garendo. He did come in top 12 in my initial rankings. Now, rankings are, I mean, I've updated these bad boys already at least a half dozen times since the initial release. And that wasn't even 24 hours ago. So they're always changing, evolving. But he is in that range of, you know, 12, 13 roughly. So he's a fringe, let's call him a fringe RB1. The ranking spot actually doesn't matter as much. Just call him that, right? Fringe RB1. Okay, well, that is a week where we do have several guys who would ordinarily be ahead of him on bye. So I think, like, best case scenario, viewing him as a fringe top 15 guy, like I had said in the waiver wire tool over at ftnfantasy.com, he's top 20, but I don't think he's going to be an RB1. That still doesn't mean you wasted your money if you went out and spent on him, because, you know, good luck finding that. Like, look at the gap between him and the next most likely available running back this week, which was Gus Edwards, which is not good. Sizable gap. But you might be wondering, well, why don't you have him higher, Jeff? You know, this is the 49ers backfield and everything. Well, a couple reasons. First and foremost, yes, the 49ers backfield, this version of the 49ers. This is not last year's version. This is not September's version. So it is a little bit different. The team is reeling. Now, they're still in the playoff mix, but they're reeling. They're not the same team they were even a few months ago, much less a year ago. So you have that. Second, I mean, he entered the season as the fourth string guy, like at camp and all of that. You had McCaffrey, who was ahead, Elijah Mitchell, remember him? And then Jordan Mason. Mason was the third stringer, so technically the fourth stringer. He tested really well in the pre-draft process. I thought there were elements to him that were very interesting, but Garendo, you know, he wasn't the most coveted running back in his class for a reason. Like, he's a just a guy from a talent standpoint, not from a physical standpoint. He is impressive. But from a talent standpoint, like a just a guy, you know, just a guys can be effective in a Shanahan run scheme. But overall, there are enough tick marks in the con column to at least, you know, not have me overly bullish here, you know, have me viewing him more as an RB2. But that's still a good thing. Now, the team did add Izzy Abanda-Kanda. They ended up signing him from the Jets practice squad. Does that move the needle dramatically? No, of course it doesn't. I would say with Abanda-Kanda, if I had Garendo, I guess you could cuff him if Garendo is now your top running back. But if I have Garendo and let's say I have somebody like Bijan, no, I'm not cuffing him. Or Jacobs, no, I'm not cuffing him. Or Devon Achane, no. Or heck, even James Conner, No, I'm not cuffing Garendo. Otherwise, for Abanacanda, the only way I think I would consider rostering him is in deep leagues. And I find very often, I mentioned this on my SiriusXM show today, a lot of fantasy players manage in regular size leagues like they are deep leagues. They roster players who shouldn't be rostered in those formats. So when I talk about regular size league, if you're in a 12 teamer, that's still regular size. Like you have normal starting lineup requirements, one quarterback, two running back, three wide out, tight end, flex, maybe a super flex. It's still all regular size. And then you have anywhere from 6 to 8 bench spots, right? You're in a regular size league. 8 gets close to deep league, but still it's about regular size. Anything larger than that, so more teams, more bench spots, more starting lineup requirements, you started to spill into deep league territory. That's where Abanacanda becomes interesting, but not in regular size leagues. You know, there are likely other options out there that are much more intriguing, including potentially some of those cuff options. Like if you said Abanacanda or Zach Charbonnet, like, dude, it's not close. And Zach Charbonnet at least has independent value. You know, not much, but a little bit. I mean, he scored a touchdown last week. We don't know how long it's going to take for Abanacanda to get up to speed. I mean, I guess it has to happen fairly quickly, given the fact that he's the only other running back on the roster right now. But I just don't see that much value to adding him. Don't really have that much else. So maybe the only other thing that I did want to mention here regarding injury stuff. Actually, let's call it two things. Trevor Lawrence not practicing today. I don't know if he's going to play this week. Tomorrow will be the telltale. I would think he's up against it, right? It looked like a pretty bad concussion. So tomorrow, if he goes DNP again, then he's not going to play. You know, if he goes limited, then he could play. I mean, he very likely will play at that point. So we just have to wait and see. The good news is, I mean, Mac Jones wasn't that bad this past week, so I don't think it's that big of a downgrade. If you have like Brian Thomas, if you have Evan Ingram, I don't think it's that big of a downgrade. So we're keeping an eye on that. And then speaking of concussions, this Austin Ekeler stuff is pretty scary. You know, he called himself week to week. He was asked about returning this season. Now, for fantasy purposes, we're done. And really, the best case scenario for him would be the very, very end of the season when most fantasy leagues are over. Maybe he gets back for the playoffs. But here's where things get scary with this dude. So he said he doesn't remember walking off the field. He doesn't remember being in the ambulance, going to the hospital. That's scary stuff. Beyond that, he had a concussion back in week 3. Same thing, pretty much. Memory loss. That's scary stuff. Now, it's not like Ekeler has a, you know, Tua Tagovailoa history of concussions, but by the same token, those are two very severe concussions in the span of, what, 2.5 months of each other? That's not good. He's 29 years old. I understand, man. I get it. Doing what you love. These guys love to play football in the NFL. You get to do what you love and you only have a short period of time to do it in your life. I get that. But there are some things that are bigger. Maybe this is it for him. I don't know. But at least for our purposes, like first and foremost, it's Brian Robinson Jr. After that, it is Jeremy McNichols. And I hope that, you know, fortunately they're heading into bye. So I don't think a lot of people got fooled by Chris Rodriguez. But if you look at the box score, it looks like Rodriguez is a better option than McNichols. That is not the case. Rodriguez was just playing mop-up duty essentially last week. So his production came after the fact. And if you look who was on the field in the beginning of the game, it was Robinson and McNichols. So McNichols will slide into that Austin Ekeler role, which there at least is some moderate value. Maybe there's some flex value at points. And obviously, if Robinson went down with an injury, we would see Rodriguez step into his role, but we'd also see a larger role for McNichols. So that is worth noting there. All right. Like I said, it's a short one today. Wanted to come in with a little bit of advice because obviously this is a very, very important week for a lot of people in fantasy. So hopefully you found that helpful. Hopefully you find everything at ftnfantasy.com helpful. Remember the promo code RATPACK for 10% off. You can follow along with me on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it, at Jeff Ratcliffe, and on Instagram at Jeff Ratcliffe, and I'm on Blue Sky too, at Jeff Ratcliffe. I'm going to be on my main podcast feed, which is called The Rant, For the rest of the week, Thursday and Friday, you'll get Mike Randall back here late Sunday night. Usually, I know a lot of people listen to that on Monday mornings. And then me again for Wednesday for the next 3 weeks, I believe. Yeah, we'll go right up through the Fantasy Championship round in week 17. And then we'll kind of take our foot off the gas with this podcast a little bit. We'll still be around. We're not going anywhere. But, you know, it's a little bit of a different schedule when we hit the NFL playoffs and then the postseason. Just wanted to update you there. But anyway, hit me up tomorrow on the Rant podcast feed, and I'll be back on this feed a week from now. I'm Jeff, and I'm out.